Blog Talk Radio.
Sometimes you have to speak.
many people encouraged tonight.
Thank you, Jesus. I hope all of you that listened to that this morning are encouraged this morning. As we come on the show this morning, Joy and Peace, Outreach Minister, Overseer Sadie Elliott, I am so glad you have stopped by the show today, because God is a good God, and we have an exciting topic for you today. But before we start, I'll say a word of prayer. Oh, gracious Father, we come this morning to say thank you. You've been mighty good to each and every one of us that's tuning in to Blog Talk today. You're opening doors for so many of us today, dear Heavenly Father, that we could not have opened without you. I thank you, dear Heavenly Father. I thank you that I am the righteous of Christ. I thank you that I am blessed and cannot be cursed. I thank you, and I come to you humbling myself before you this day, knowing that I am nothing without you, nothing that no flesh will glory in your presence today. Father, I just thank you in the mighty and the holy name of Jesus. Amen, and thank God. Well, today we come with an exciting topic. And our topic today is how to face the new year. I know it's probably a week later, but when we think about how good God is and what he's doing, so many people came in the new year with resolutions that will be broken within 2 or 3 days. But today I'm going to come in with how to face the new year. How to face whatever you're going through with the help of God. Not the help of Overseer Sadie Elliott, but with the Word of God. It is written in the Word of God how to face the new year. And today, I'm going to start off. I'll be giving a lot of scriptures that you can go to. I hope you brought your Bibles, your paper, and your pens with you for today's show, because I think it will be an enlightenment show and will be helpful to a lot of you all that may be on the air today. So our first thing is how to face the new year. It's with a mind to live safe. This year, live and have the mind to live safe. Not that you may not have been, but it may be some things in your life on 2011 that you need to line up with the Lord this year, that you need to get straight before the master this year. And so we're going to start off with a mind to live safe and holy. You know, we're going to have for this year a mind to walk upright. That's right. How to walk upright. And my first scripture is going to come from Psalms 84 and verse 11. And the word of God say, for the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. That's a mind to walk uprightly through the word of God. My. You know, God is just so good. He is just so good. You know, the next thing on how to face the new year is with the mind to remove all baggage from 2011. When you came into 2012, you was to leave everything. All that baggage that you was carrying on your back, just pulling around. It might have been choke holding you around your neck. You had a leash on you, just like you put a leash around your dog when you're walking your dog, and you pulling him when you're ready to go ball. Well, you know, all that baggage from 2011, which you should have left in the back, back there in 2011. Unforgiveness, gossip, backbiting, backstabbing. All these sins, you didn't need to bring them back into 2012. That's last year's stuff. That stuff is gone. And if what you turn to your Bibles to Hebrews 12:1, and the word of God says, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight. That means every weight that you have pulled along with you that you didn't need to have, lay it aside today. And the sin which does so easily beset us, that goes for all of them. Lay aside every weight and every sin that easily beset you. And the word say, not me, the word say, and let us run with patience. You know, so many of you all don't have patience today. But let us run with patience the race. We're in a race that is set before us. We're in a race that's running. I'm going to say that again. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us and run. That means we have to be running. We have to have that race that's set before us. God has given us something. We have to be on our mission, on our journey. We need to be running to do what God say do. Not wait until next year, 2013, but doing what he have called us to do in 2012. He have set us on course. So that means we need to be on our mission. Staying in your lane, not trying to do somebody else's lane, but just stay in your lane and run the race he have given to you. And when we do that, you'll be surprised how much your race is going to be won. But if you stay in your lane, the next thing, how to face the new year, is with a mind to trust God in everything. Not one thing, not something, but have a mind to trust God in everything. And I'll take you over to Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6. And as I turn my Bible along with you, we're going to go over to Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. And the word of God say, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thy own understanding. That means you got to trust in God with your whole soul, body, and mind. Don't lean to your own understanding, because, see, your understanding may tell you to go do this here, but God telling you to do that. So we have to learn how to lean and depend on God. Verse 6 says, in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. That means in everything he tell you to do, acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. See, when we go to wanting to do it our way, do it so-and-so way, but what's that God's way? And so that's why it say, in all thy ways acknowledge him, acknowledging your heavenly Father. He shall direct thy path. That means when you get up in the morning, you acknowledging God through prayer, through praise, through worship. You've given up supplication to the Lord. You acknowledging him. Automatically, that's where our focus is acknowledging him, giving him all the praise, giving him all the glory. I know you want to give your children praise and your neighbors and your husband or your friend, but acknowledge God. That's your first priority, acknowledge him. When you open up your eyes in the morning, he the one woke you up. It wasn't an alarm clock. It wasn't Jimmy, it wasn't Susie, it wasn't Mary, it wasn't Billy. It was Jesus. And when you think of the goodness of God and what he's doing for you, you can't help but acknowledge him. Give him the praise. Give him the glory. That's trusting God in everything. No matter what you're going through that day, no matter what situation may come up, you need God. You can't do it by yourself. So that means you let him direct your path. Let him direct your steps as you going forth in that day. My next one is how to face the new year. I have even taken this one for me personally, for Joy and Peace Outreach. I want to have a mind to become armed and dangerous. That means armed with my sword in one hand and the 66 books in the other. Literally, going through this word of God from beginning to end. And if you turn to Luke, the 10th chapter, and the 19th verse, it's saying, behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the powers of the enemy, and nothing, I mean nothing, shall by any means hurt you. When you read that and you think about, here God given to you, he didn't give you the power already that you have on the inside of you. It's time for you to bring forth that power. He letting you know, even serpents and scorpions, you can conquer that thing. You armed and dangerous with that. And over all the power of the enemy, he's giving you power over your enemies, whoever they may be, whatever it may be. He have given you power over that. And he's letting you know in his word where it is written, nothing shall by any means hurt you. That lets you know nothing is going to harm you. Nothing. No matter what it look like, what it seems like, nothing will harm you. And when you think about that, nothing, if I got my trust totally in God, I'm coming with the word of God on and dangerous. I'm not going to let anything separate me before God. And then I went to Mark 16th chapter. I'm going to turn over to Mark, the 16th chapter. And we're going to go to the 17th and the 18th verse. And I'm going to read that. I hope you have your Bibles and your paper and pencil. That way you can go back and read it at your leisure time yourself and see what God is saying to you. But at this time, this is what he gave me. He could be giving you a whole different scenario, concept for your life, for the situation that you may be in right now. But Mark 16, the 17th and the 18th verse say, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. And as I elaborated on 17 and 18, and these signs shall follow them that believe. That means you got to believe. He put it right there in his word. And he's saying, in my name, that's his name, not Satan's name, in his name, not your name, it's his name, shall they cast out devil in God's name. We can't do nothing without him, by the name of Jesus. The devil have to bow at the name of Jesus. And the word said, and they shall speak with new tongues. I mean, he's given you new tongues for you to speak with. And verse 18 say, and they shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. My, my, my. Here you've been wondering why you can't do what you thought you couldn't do, but God said that you could do. Here you got the power that's laying on the inside of you that you have been letting lay dormant. Don't you know you have the power to lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover? Don't you know you have power within you for any sickness that attack your body? You can speak that thing. You can speak that word. You can lay hands on your own self. You don't have to call the next door neighbor. You can attack that thing right then and there. You have the power. He have given you that power to use with his name. Now, just think about that. You be laying there having a headache. You don't know how to heal that headache. The first thing your mind say, paraphrase that, let me reach for a pain pill. Or let me reach for an old wives' tale I've had heard about that will combat this headache I've been having for 2 and 3 days. No, it's time for me to go to the doctor with this headache. But when you start setting your mind on what the word of God say, pick up that Bible. It's written in the word of God. Turn to you some healing scriptures. Start reading them healing scriptures. Start doing what them scriptures say. Stop confessing them scriptures. Start putting your hands on your own self. Start reading them words. Start saying, wait a minute, I got a headache. Let me go to Psalms 28 and 7. The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusted in him. I am his helper. Therefore, my heart greatly rejoiced. And with my song, I will praise him. All right. Start looking through some more. And you go to, say, Proverbs 15 and 13 and say, a merry heart maketh a cheerful countenance, but by sorrow of the heart, the spirit is broken. That means you can start breaking them things. You can start speaking that word. You start speaking to that headache. You start calling on your regulators. Start calling on your defender. Start calling on the word of God. You know, you say, wait a minute, I'm going to destroy this here right now. Lay hands on your head. Start speaking that word. If you got the Holy Ghost, you still start speaking in tongue to that demon, that enemy, that adversary that have tried to tell you, wait a minute, your head is hurting you real bad. You need to do this and you need to do that. You start speaking that word. That's when you become armed and dangerous. Ah, you become armed and dangerous right there where you are. And when you know, when next thing you know, when you get through reading that word and applying that word to your situation, you're going to come out that victorious. You're going to say, I don't even have that headache no more. Well, Lord, I thank you. But see, you were speaking that word. You was giving God the praise. You wasn't giving in to that enemy until his little imps had sent to you. And when you realize it, you can stand up and say, with a mind, I have become armed and dangerous. I know how to touch and heal my body with the word of God. I know how to apply the word. But that means you got to be in the word. You got to be speaking that word daily. Not just when something happens. And sometimes things can happen in your life where you say, well, wait a minute. You just start speaking that word. Say, wait a minute, I know the word. God have given me the word. Let me start speaking this word. Let me start laying hands on myself. And I will recover. The next thing is how to face the new year. It's with the mind that is placing your goals and vision into God's hands. God have given you vision. He given you goals. It's time for you to start activating those goals and the visions that he given you. Habakkuk say, write the vision and make it plain. If you never wrote the vision down that God have given you, how are you going to be able to activate it? He's given you goals that you went into 2012 with. How to face the new year. He's told you how you can go about obtaining the goals and the vision that he's given to you in your hand. That's your baby. You're walking with that. You're speaking that thing. And the more you speak the vision, the more you speak the goals that God have given to you, the more you will bring that into fruition. But if you never speak it, if you never write it down, just think how the enemy will come in and pluck it up out of your thought pattern. You have to speak that thing. You got to put that thing he have given you. That's your baby. You're pregnant with the word. You're pregnant with the vision. You're pregnant with that goal. God is letting you know, I have called you for such a time as this. 2012 is your year. For you that had not realized it, this is the year of our government. This is government number 12. Search it out. In your word, you'll find out what 12 means in so many aspects in the word of God. So this is your time, your season, your hour for you to get up and be about God's business, about the goals he has set forth for you, to do the things he has called for you to do. Don't let them lay dormant. And as we went through for how to face the new year, you need to face the new year not with fear, but with faith and confidence. You want to have that faith as small as that mustard seed. You want to go in 2012 with confidence, not shaking in your boots, not knowing the direction God is leading you in. You don't want to go around with fear. When the enemy comes up with that thing called fear, that's when you go to your scriptures. You say, okay, God, I refuse to live in fear. I refuse to go through what I went through last year. I'm going in with confidence this year. I'm going in victoriously this year. I have the mind of Christ. I will do what you say, Lord. I have confidence in myself. And when you start going to your scriptures and reading and letting the enemy know that you will not have no fear in your life, start reading Psalms 27 and 1. It tells you, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? You don't just stop there. That's when you worrying with fear. Then you jump down and say, in verse 34 of Psalms, in verse 4, chapter 34, verse 4, I sought the Lord, and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. That letting you know you don't have to be fearful of nothing. Then you turn over to Isaiah 41 and 10. It tell you, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee. My. You can start walking in confidence because you know through the word of God, as you read the word of God, how God have come in. He have elevated you to where you need to go, where you need to be. And you don't have to be in condemnation any longer with fear. You can step up with confidence. And the new year, how to face the new year? You can face the new year with commitment and not compromise. Learn how to be a committed man and woman of God, a committed Christian. Don't take down to any and everything. Be committed to what God have called you to do. If you have to go by yourself, go ahead. Be committed to it. Don't compromise to it. Romans 12:1-2 say, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And the word say, be not conformed to this world. You just passing through. Don't try to wear this world with a loose garment. But be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove that which is good and acceptable and the perfect will of God. That's facing the new year, being committed, not throwing in the towel, not giving up, but going on through the word of God. I thought this was so befitting today, starting the brand new year, where we have so many things that we are doing. We're running here, running there. But are we committed to Christ Jesus this year? Are you committed to do what God have called you to do? Or are you laying lackadaisy, waiting on this to happen and that to happen? Or have you got up and started doing what God say do? You know, facing the new year is believing that God answered prayer. A lot of people felt their prayers wasn't answered last year because it didn't come in fruition. God heard your prayer. Your prayers will be answered. And as I was reading the word of God in Mark, the 11th chapter, and I'm going to go over there right quick. I'm going to turn over to Mark, the 11th chapter. I hope you have your Bibles. You can read or write along with me. That way you know what I'm saying is coming from the word of God. Because I know I have a lot of scholars out there, and I want to read what the word say, not what overseers say, but what the word say. In Mark, the 11th chapter, and the 22nd verse to the 24th verse, I'm going to read that, and it says, and Jesus answered, saying unto them, have faith in God. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he said shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he say. And verse 24 says, therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire, when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them. Whatsoever, huh, ye desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them, and ye shall have them. That means you got to believe in your heart without a shadow of a doubt. What you ask God for will come to pass. And you know, I'm going to interject a little bit right here. I'm going to mention the season. You know, everybody feel it's four seasons. But really, it's five seasons. We have winter, spring, summer, fall. But when you think about it, what's that fifth season? Ha, I'm glad you asked. That fifth season is due season in your life. 2012 is your due season because God is doing a turnaround in your life this year. He's showing you through your prayers what he has brought in 2012 in fruition. For you, you're living now and walking in your due season. He's letting you know the things you have been praying for. This is your year. This is your season that you will walk in it. If you're in ministry, he have called you to pastor. This is your year. If he called for you to have a church, this is your year. If he called you to go out and do a ministry, this is your year. If he have told you, you've been praying for your family members to be saved, this is your year. Just think about the prayers you have prayed. You thought because they had not come into fruition that God had not answered your prayer. But, ha, little did you know, God had answered your prayer. It was a time and a season that your prayers was going to be answered. Some things, they may have come automatically. Before you know it, you say, boom, there it is. But when you start speaking that word, when you start praying and believing what you have asked him for, it's saying in his word, believe that ye receive them. You got to believe in your mind. When you done pray, you got to believe that you shall have them. You will have them. You have not because you ask not. Once you put it in your mind, that's where it starts, in the mind. I'm praying. I'm asking God for such and such a thing. I'm believing it. I'm speaking it. I'm speaking that thing in existence every day. No, in the natural, I may not have seen it. But in the supernatural, in the spiritual, I'm pulling that thing down from heaven. I'm pulling it down every day. And when he see you praising him, he see you worshiping him, he said, wait a minute, that's my son down here worshiping me. That's my daughter giving me praise and worshiping me. I can't help but answer them. They done went behind the veil. I see their heart. I see their mind. They got a clean and a pure heart, a clear motive. They're not letting nothing separate me and them. They'll put everything on the back burner for me. They done let this go, that go, that go. Just for me. I got to bless my son. I got to bless my daughter. These are some of the things that I'm telling you to help you face the new year. On believing that your prayers have been answered. Don't give up. Don't throw in the towel. God is right there with open arms. Standing right there. You think he done left you. No, he haven't. Just because he didn't say a word this morning to you, talking audibly to you where you heard him, you was going through something today. A lot of you all that may be listening in to the broadcast today, and you feel God have not heard your prayer. God heard your prayer, and he have answered it. But have you pulled it down for yourself? We say, I'm believing this thing. I'm trusting in God. I'm already seeing it come to pass. I'm seeing it in the spiritual realm, and I'm pulling it down out of the spirit. And that's what we got to do this morning. And if anyone have called in, for some reason my computer locked on me, I'm going back in to try to pull you up, because it may be someone that came on that would like to speak on how to face the new year. And hopefully it'll be back up in a few minutes, because I know what I'm saying. The enemy don't want me to let you know what God have given me on how to face the new year. Not just with resolution, not with just trying to diet or do this and do that, but really actually get in to the word of God, because we know time is winding up. Time isn't long as it has been for none of us. We don't know where our name is on the road. But we want to give God praise this morning. We want to thank him for what he's doing. He brought us over in 2012. That's true. But are we keeping him with us in 2012? Or because we got such and such a thing, we dropped him off? Like a piece of luggage? No, 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 no. We got to keep leaning and depending on God for our everything. You know, we have to face the new year. We're going to go through some suffering and persecution. But we're going to go through them this year with the right attitude. We ain't going to murmur. We ain't going to complain. We ain't going to call Jilly Bob, Jody Bob, and Sally Sue. We're going to go before God. Whatever situation that come up in our life this year, we're going to go to God. Because when it boils down to it, he's the one that can solve every problem that you have. He's the one to answer every prayer that you have. And we know we can go to God. We may not can go to mother and father. They may not understand us. No matter how we pull and kick at the prick, when you got a relationship with your father, you can go to God for any and everything. And he will give you the answer. I may be on this air blog talk telling you one thing, and God is telling you another. So you got to go with what God is saying. I may have good intention, but God got all the belief and intentions on what you should and the way you should go. And that's what we have to do. We have to trust in God. I don't mean we can't have somebody we talk to about it, but when it boils down to it, if they in Christ Jesus, the next thing they're going to tell you, did you go to God for the answer to this dilemma or this problem that you find yourself in right now? Or have you called everybody at the church and told them what you're going through? That's murmuring and complaining. You know, when you go, you just give it to God, and God already know what you're going through. And when you turn that thing over to him, totally turn over to him, don't murmur, don't complain. You know it's hurting you. Sure, we all have been down that road. Some of us still going down that road. But when you start committing yourself to God, commit everything to God, give it to him. And you can find that in 1 Peter 4 and 19 by committing themselves to God. Commit yourself to God. Don't lean to your own understanding, but commit, just commit. You know, it's hard for somebody, and sometimes some people, just to commit to certain things. And when it comes to the word of God, we got to learn how to commit everything to God. In 1 Peter, I was reading in 4 and 19, the word of God say, therefore, let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to him in well-doing as unto the faithful creator. That means we have to go to God, you all. We're going to suffer in this life. God suffered. And he created us. You know, if he went to the cross and bared what he did for us, we can't stand to get a nail or a pin stuck in our feet, our hand, and we just going off on a tangent. But just think about just a few minutes in your sanctified spiritual mind how God was on that cross, how he committed himself for us, that we may have the right to the tree of life. The next thing we should do on facing the new year with suffering and persecution with the right attitude is to exhibit patience. If so many people don't have patience anymore, the least little thing, they're running off in a tangent. They have no patience. But in this life, we have to have some patience. And in 1 Corinthians, the 4th chapter, I'm going to turn over there, and the 12th verse, it says, let me turn to it. In 1 Corinthians says, and labors working with our own hands, being revived, being blessed, being persecuted, we suffer it. That means we're going to be blessed. We're going to go through some things in this life on this side. But we're going to come out with joy. We just go on through that thing because we're going to have trials and tribulations on this side. And then we have rejoice. no matter what you're going through. I know you say, how can I rejoice in this situation? I just lost my job. This just happened. The word of God say rejoice, and again I say rejoice, because when you think about it, you probably was complaining about the co-workers, about your boss, but with the things they was doing, the things they were saying. But when I say rejoice, Matthew 5:12 say, rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they, the prophets which were before you. Just go to rejoicing, because he's showing you, wait a minute, I got something better for you. And I had to take this one from you for you to get something better. I didn't put you here to stay 20 and 30 years. You know, and I used to wonder about that. I say, why, when our ancestors had these jobs that was on them 20, 25, 30, and 40 years retired at them? When you think in a course, how many people go through a job now within 20 years? How many job and job descriptions they have had? That lets you know time is moving on. Things are changing. We're going to go through suffering and persecution, but we're going to go through it with a good attitude. We're going to pray for deliverance. We're going to pray for those who inflict us. We're not going to try to go word to word. Mm-mm. These are new things for the new year. You're going to be challenged with. We're going to return for blessings. And if you go to Romans 12:4, we're still talking about how to face the new year, things that will come up in your life in 2012. But you're going to be prepared to how to face some of these challenges that will come up against you. And Romans 12:14 says, bless them which persecute you. Bless and curse not. Here they're telling you. And then if I go to verse 15, it says, rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Here they're letting you know you can rejoice. You can go through persecution and still be blessed and curse not. My, my, my. See, you read that for yourself in the scripture. Bless them which persecute you. No matter what they're saying against you, you don't have to talk about them. You don't have to drag them down the road. He gonna bless you. And he say, curse not. Don't talk about them. Pray for them. And then again he say, rejoice. You can rejoice with them. Them that's weeping, you can weep with them. All these things are to help you in facing the new year, to seek, to serve mankind. I know it's a lot of things that you probably wrote down through the scriptures as I was going through some of these things that would help somebody along this life journey on how to face the new year, 2012. Because we're going to have challenges this year. We're going to be put in other positions. We're going to have other jobs, a job description. We will be in ministries that the pastor or whatever may ask us to go about different things, but go with it with a good attitude. You know, facing the new year with expectation. We should face this new year with expectation. Not looking back at the past, but looking to the future. It's some things we had to go through in the past in 2011 that God brought you through for 2012. He don't want you to keep looking back. That's over and done with. He want us to look to the hills from which cometh our help, because he know our help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. I mean, I just thank God today for 2012, because when I think about what he's going to do, what he have already promised me in 2012, just think about what he told you for 2012, how you can be victorious in what he's already given to you to do. You can't help but come out thanking him for what all he's going to do in 2012, what all he's saying right now in 2012. You know, Philippians 3 and 13 say, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but, here we come with that word, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. My, my, my. Look how you can go into 2012. How the faith, the new year. My, 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 my. He's saying it in his word. Looking to a great future in Christ Jesus. And if you know, he's the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. This year, expect God, that God will answer your prayer. No matter what you've been praying for, only you and God know what you've been praying for. Even when you had that silent thing in your heart, God knew it. He already knew what you needed, what you was asking for. But expect God to move on your behalf in 2012. Expect God to do the unexpected this year in your life. This year, 2012, expect God to move in your life. In every area of your life, expect God to move, and he will. I am so sorry that I wasn't able to bring anyone on for some reason for this broadcast, but if you have any comments or anything, just put them on Blog Talk in care of Joy and Peace Outreach Ministry, because I wanted to bring everyone in, but for some reason it locked up. But I thank God I still had the use of everything to say how to face the new year. You see, the enemy trying to come in and make me have a bad attitude, but no sorry, buddy. I know who I'm serving, and I'm serving a true and a living God. He's already showed me what's ahead, and all I have to do is be in his will, to live and be in his will, the permissive will of God. I give God praise today. I give him honor, because he is truly, truly worthy to be praised. And when we think about the goodness of Jesus and all that he's doing for each and every one of us, with the sound of my voice right now, you can't help but just praise him and thank him for bringing you over, to bringing you on through 2012, for opening your eyes, opening your mind as you read the word of God for yourself. And everything that you need for 2012, you're going to find it in the word of God. And as he bring it to you and bring it forth, you're going to say, my, 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 here I have been worrying about this. Here I've been worrying about that. But here God is speaking to me right through his word, how to face what I'm going through, how to do what he say do. And you're going to come out victoriously. You're going to say, God, I just thank you. God, I adore you. God, I magnify you. You showed me in your word. Here, I didn't know, even in my prayers, I was praying in a mist. And I have someone, oh, praise God, that I'm fixing to bring on right now. Praise God. Caller, you're not on the air. Caller, if your phone is caller, you're now on the air. Good morning.
Good morning, Overseer Sadie. This is Prophetess V. How are you?
I am blessed. You know, God is so good. Coming up to the end of the cast, don't you know it just came on, showing on air? But I know God is a good God. I refuse to take down in 2012.
Amen.
Amen. I am so glad to hear from you, Pastor Varian. And I see I have another caller. Hold on. I'm going to bring my other caller on where we all can talk.
Okay.
Ah, praise God. Caller, you're on the air. We all three are on the air. Praise God. Did y'all want to say something? Because we're still on the air on how to face the new year. Because y'all may have some things God give y'all on how to face the new year. I was just sharing some of the things that he had given to me.
Good morning. I just really enjoyed everything what you said. It just really blessed me. Everything what you said was on point, and I could receive everything. I mean, everything what you told us, it was just a blessing to me. I was writing down my notes and everything. It was just good to me just to see how to face the year. It's through prayer, through the word of God, and through what you told us about living a holy, consecrated life and set apart from God. I just really enjoyed it myself. It was just truly a blessing to me. I really enjoyed it, yes.
Well, praise God. Did you have something, Pastor Varian?
I just wanted to say that, you know, exactly like the caller said, this was a much-needed word. You know, it wasn't a word that, you know, we get up there and we just want to teach and preach for ourselves so that people can hear what we have to say. No, it was a word that we needed to hear. You know, the Bible says faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. You know, and then Jesus tells us in Matthew 4:4, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And I can say with the confidence and in faith that this word came from God, because I needed to hear what you said, just like the caller and other people needed to hear exactly what you said as well. And we all are standing together and being edified by the word. The word that you speak, teach, and preach, the word that God gives you, because only God knows what we need to hear.
Yes, yes.
Only God knows what we're going through or what we've been through or how we get us from one place to the next. The shepherd leads the sheep don't lead the shepherd.
Mm-hmm.
And so God is leading us through his word and guiding us to the place where we need to be and leading us out of things that we were in and guiding us to places where we've never been.
Yes.
And it's a little uncomfortable to go from a place of comfortability to a place of uncertainty. Jesus. But that's where we have to go. Because if we stay uncomfortable, we won't get to where God is trying to take us.
Mm-hmm.
Because the comfortable is familiar.
Yes.
But the uncomfortable, the uncertain, is not familiar. And
that's
why we are afraid to go into that unfamiliar territory, because we don't know what will happen over there.
Yes.
We don't know how it's going to turn out. We don't know what it's going to look like. But all we got to do is trust God. God led Abraham faithfully.
Mm-hmm.
And he didn't know where he was going, but he knew God was telling him to go, and he went.
Mm-hmm.
And God led him safely. So if God can do it for Abraham, God can do it for you and I. And
that's right.
And that's where we have to be, in that place of knowing and trusting him, not ourselves, not how we can see ourselves through, not how we can't see ourselves through, but trust him to lead us.
Yes.
Because he won't take us nowhere that he knows we can't handle it.
Mm. I tell you, I mean, we all have been faced with some challenges in life. You know, we all go through something. But, I mean, when he give us this word and we read it for ourselves in red and black and white in this Bible, and this is our roadmap, it tells us everything that we need to do, where we need to go, how we need to go about it. My. Mm.
Yes.
I just give him praise for the word this morning, because he is just so worthy to be praised.
Yes,
I thank y'all for sharing in. I couldn't get y'all in early enough, but thank God for the time He got us in, that we, everyone
Amen.
That came on, could still share the word of God.
Amen. He got us in when we were supposed to be in.
All right. Yeah.
Hey,
you
already gave the word.
I received that. I received that. So I hope the listeners that listen in sometime today, tonight, or whenever time they have a free time, that it would help them. And they can go to the scriptures for themselves that I gave. And God may give them a different thing, but for the time what he gave me, you know, and he may share the same thing with them. But I figure, you know, a lot of people want to go in each year, a new year with this, with that. But with it boiled down, where is God in the picture? The whole time you're going to do this, you're going to do that. Have you ever mentioned God? Have you consulted God on what you want? God done told you already what he wants you to do and where you're going, but you done went, you know, and went before God. You know, well, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. And God is nowhere in the picture. And then when things don't work out, you wonder, well, why didn't this happen? Well, why did that happen? Because you didn't put God first.
Man.
Mm. But I want to thank you ladies for coming on and sharing in the topic today on how to face the new year. And I said I was going to give myself time enough with this, and sure enough, thank God, I really did do it.
Yes, ma'am.
Yes,
just tidal words. It was just good to me. It was just like, yes, God, I needed that one.
Yeah.
Writing everything down. It was good. I mean, it was just the truth. I couldn't say nothing. I'm just listening. I ain't got nothing to say. It was just seeing it all.
And when you start expecting God, you want God. You know, you expecting God that God will answer prayer. You know what you've been praying for. Prophetess William. Pastor Barron, you know what you've been praying for. Only you and God know that.
Amen.
But when it comes to flourishing, baby, you will holler the rooftop off of your house, your apartment, your job. You're going to say, God, I know you was coming through for me. I know it was nobody but God that did that. And then what you was praying for, God is so awesome. That what you was praying for, he turned that thing around and did it so smooth, a different way from what you thought it was going to be, that you come out there, you say, oh, my God, I know it was nobody but God.
Nobody
but God.
Come on.
Jesus.
That's real.
Yes.
Jesus. Ooh, Jesus.
My God. And that's how he has to do it. He has to do it that way, because if it's done any other way, we'll give credit to somebody else. Instead of credit to him.
That's right. He get the credit.
He
get
doing.
All the glory.
Even if he used somebody to do it, he's the one
right.
using them to do it.
That's right.
They're
and
not
you know,
doing
a lot
it
of
on
people
their own
think
or in and
it
of themselves.
Me.
They're doing it because he is orchestrating it to happen.
Uh-huh.
Just like me. Right now, I'm pregnant.
Uh-huh.
But I spent a whole lot of years not being pregnant.
Uh-huh.
And being married.
Yes.
And not being pregnant.
Huh.
And so you would think that when you did it the right way, right?
Uh-huh.
And you got married,
uh-huh.
that you would get pregnant. But I didn't get pregnant right then. Because it wasn't time for that.
All right. Now here we come with your new season,
baby.
New season.
Hey,
new season. That's it.
Come on, it wasn't time.
It wasn't your time.
Bible tells us. Come on.
Yes.
There's a time and a place for everything.
Everything. Yes,
uh-huh.
And we don't want to hear that.
Ah.
Because we want what we want when we want it. But God knows when we need it. God knows when the right time to give it to us.
Yes. He knows
so
when you can handle it.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
I know even with myself, I know some things what I got before God right now, but I know one thing with me, he's not going to give me anything what I'm not ready and prepared for. I don't care how long I pray, but he got to make sure I'm prepared and ready for things what I'm asking God for. So he puts me on the process. I don't just to wait and just be patient, just trust him. I know, it's coming, but even when it's coming on God's time, which is due season. It's going to come on God's time.
Come on.
Mm-hmm.
That's what he said, he said not to be anxious for anything, but through prayer and supplication, make our request unto God. And so in it already, God, he put the desire in my heart already. So you know, I give it to God. So I just trust God and pray before I see the blessing. I thank God for everything, Lord. I thank you for that. I know the things when I pray and ask God for that I know it's coming out from God's time. So in the process, He teaches me how to just wait and trust Him, just wait on Him, because I know if once I wait on God, it's gonna be up on the right time.
Mm-hmm.
Come on. And knowing that whatever you pray for, like Overseer said, it will come to pass. It will. But you got to know that it will, despite what it looks like. Because there was a lot of time in between the time that I wanted to have a child that I wasn't having that child. And what the devil tries to do, he'll send everybody your way.
Mm-hmm.
You ain't pregnant yet? Y'all been together how long now? You ain't pregnant yet? So when you going to have a baby?
All right. You know it may not come in a
place. Now, so work on us. Day after day after day.
Ooh.
Month after month. Because you're going to send somebody that way to say it.
Uh-huh.
To try to discourage you.
Mm-hmm.
But I kept the faith.
That's right. You had
and
to keep the faith.
That no matter what, you know what, I'm going to get what I've prayed to God for.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I didn't realize or understand that, you know what, it wasn't time for it. But it didn't matter what I understood or realized. What mattered was that I kept the faith.
There you go.
That's it.
God will give you the answer.
Mm-hmm.
Not when you want it, because right then at that time you can't handle it.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
And it's the truth, Overseer. If God would have told me when I prayed the prayer, and I said, you know what, Lord, I didn't do nothing but follow Hannah's recipe, Elkanah's wife.
Uh-huh.
I didn't do nothing but do what she did. She wanted a child. She went to God. She prayed. She conceived and had a child.
All right.
I didn't do nothing but do what she did because I read it in the Word. So it worked.
All right. Go right
but
back
now,
to the Word.
If he would have told me now. Come on, if he would have told me when I prayed, well, daughter, you know what? I'm going to give it to you, but right now you ain't ready. Oh, Jesus.
Mm.
I couldn't have handled that.
Mm-hmm.
He knew it.
That's right.
He
and you
said
you know,
that to me right then.
Mm-hmm. And you see?
Even
what
afterwards, I didn't receive that until after I was pregnant. And then he began to reveal those things to me. Why? Because I was prepared enough to handle it.
Uh-huh. Yes, ma'am. And that's why, you know, I say, he don't come when Sadie want him, but when he comes, he show up.
Uh-huh.
He right on time, and when he comes and show up, you say to yourself right then, out to the Lord, Lord, I thank you. You right on time with that thing, but you thought you needed him last week. You were so bogged up in your mind, you say, God, I need you. I need you right now. I got this thing. God is saying, hold on, Sadie. I'm coming. I've already done separated that thing from you. I'm already done moved that thing from you. I've already given you that thing. But it's going to come in. I got to see. Can I trust you with what you've been asking for?
Yeah.
I got to see. You know, and I had to realize, even reading through the scripture, and I kept saying, wait a minute. It's more than one season. Well, now, you know, when I literally look at the calendar, and like you just said, when I say everything you need in the Word, it wasn't time for you to have the baby in spring. It wasn't time for you to do it in the fall when you thought it, in the summer, in the winter when you thought it was time. God said, I got a due season for you, Pastor Berrien.
Come on.
And when he got ready for that due season, he said, okay. Nah, it's your time. He had to work some kinks out between you and your husband.
Yes.
He had to do some things, move you off a job, do a lot of things. He had
what
to rearrange your whole lifestyle for you to receive this baby. But see, at the time, you was working, you was doing this, you was doing that. He said, no, now is the time that you're going to be conceived. It's not when you think you're going to do it. I'm going to do it in my due season. Hey.
And let me say this also for people who are listening. I had to sort of weigh some things too
mm-hmm.
before he allowed me to become pregnant.
All right.
There's some things that needed to be let go of.
All right.
There's some things I had to stop doing.
Mm-hmm.
Because, see, we don't ever want to believe that there's something we're doing that we need to stop doing.
All right. All right.
Even if I'm not, I'm not saying that, oh, it's evil or it's sinful or it's wrong to do. But in order to get what you are trying to receive from God, he knows what you need to do and what
mm-hmm.
you don't need to do.
Mm-hmm.
And if you need to stop doing something in order to get what God is trying to give you, it's worth
mm-hmm.
the sacrifice.
Mm-hmm.
To get what you want, to get what you need, to get what you desire most in your heart. It was
mm-hmm.
well worth it. The things that I had to stop doing
mm-hmm.
was well worth what I received.
Yes, Lord.
Because God knew doing the things that I was doing. If he would have gave me a child at that time,
mm-hmm.
what would I have been teaching the child?
All right.
What would I have been teaching this child? Because the Bible says we got to train up a child in the way that she should go or he should go.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
So now, if I would have had that baby at that time, what would I have been teaching the child? God knows what he wants us to teach and what he don't want us to teach.
All right. Yes, he does.
He don't want you to go down the same road. You don't
mm-hmm.
go down around that mountain the 40th time. And I would have been going around that same mountain again.
Mm-hmm.
If he would have gave me that baby at that time.
Mm-hmm.
But thank be to God that he gave me this child at this time. Because
mm-hmm.
now I'm more prepared to teach her the things that I have learned myself
mm-hmm.
from the Father. And so I cannot do some things and not say some things and not go some places.
Mm-hmm.
Come on now. So that
right.
she learns what is right before God. Before
mm-hmm.
she ever enters that schoolhouse, she's going to know
right.
God.
All
before
right.
she ever does anything, she's going to know who she can call on, who she needs to pray to, who the one brought her here. I didn't bring her. Her daddy didn't bring her. God brought her.
Mm-hmm.
We had been trying for all that time. She didn't get here but when he knew it was time for her to get here. We
uh-huh.
made the child. He does.
Uh-huh.
That's his gift.
Yes.
And now I know how to care for the gift that he's giving me. Come on now.
Mm-hmm.
It's like buying your child a present and what they do with that toy. What do they do with that toy?
Mm-hmm.
Whatever.
Mm-hmm.
However, they break it, they lose it, they don't care.
Mm-hmm.
Because it didn't matter to them.
But uh-huh.
this child here that I waited on,
mm-hmm.
like Abraham and Sarah.
All right.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Oh, that matters.
Lord.
Oh, that matters. So I'm going
oh,
to do my
God.
Best through Christ
mm-hmm.
and God
mm-hmm.
to take care of her and to
mm-hmm.
train her up how he wants her to be.
There you go.
Because I had to
mm-hmm.
wait for it.
Mhm. And you know,
because
a lot of people don't want to wait. That's the thing. Everybody,
oh,
so many people are impatient. They don't want to wait on what God has for them. It's a process.
Yes,
and you
ma'am.
Know another thing, you got to give up some things.
Yes.
You got to leave from some places.
Yes.
You got to move from some things for God to
yes.
give. To get you the gift that what he's showing you, I'm going to take you to Hawaii. But you got to abandon that thing where you at in Lola Ball. It's time for you to come out of Lola Ball. But my friends are there. My so-and-so there. I gave you a choice. It's time, and I'm just relating it to some of the scripture. It's time for you to come up out of Lola Ball. You've been in Lola Ball too long.
Yes.
You've been down there in Egypt. I'm trying
yes.
to put you all over in the land with milk and honey.
Come on.
Because you don't know what's over there with the milk and honey. You want to stay
on
your little acre because you're comfortable with that. See, you have to do some things in your life, Pastor Barry. You have to rearrange some things. You have to give up
yes,
on
ma'am.
Some things. You have to walk
yes,
away
ma'am.
From some things. Because you
yes,
were looking
ma'am.
At the prize, which was much greater than what was behind, like I said earlier.
Yes,
so you had to leave that baggage back there. I
oh,
want to
yes,
go into 2012.
Jesus.
But I got to remove some of this baggage I've been holding on to.
Come on.
This blanket ain't got me nowhere, but I'm still hanging on to it.
Come on.
So now it's time for me to wait a minute. Okay, God, but Lord, I like here. You done got so comfortable,
what
but you still asking God in your prayer. How you expect God to answer your prayer? Something got to be removed. Something got to give.
Come on.
And so I'm learning. He was going into 2012.
Yeah.
Okay, Sadie, you fast and pray. You set yourself aside for God, you know, from your regular routine or whatever. But God is telling you, I need you to come up higher, overseer.
Yes. Yeah.
That was good at that time. Overseer, it's your due season. It's time I'm bringing you up. Say, hello, so long, bye-bye. He's bringing you up.
Amen.
And for you to go up, you mean you got to drop them shackles off of you.
Well,
you got to come up with that rope around your neck. You got to let all that stuff go that's been on your shoulder. All that stuff that hung up around your waist. You got to look at your feet and say, it's time for me some new shoes. You got to pull them old shoes off. And they might be head holes, but this is my best pair. He's trying to give you a new pair of shoes. What you worried about because so-and-so bought you them. So-and-so give you. Wait a minute. Lord, let me get rid of these shoes. If this was holding me back for my blessing, let me get rid of it right now.
Jesus.
Hey.
Jesus.
When I come with that on the new year, how to face the new year, we had to face the new year different than we did in 2011.
Yeah.
We got to face 2012 a whole lot different than what we did in 2011.
Yes.
God want to take
you
some
places. And I got a request for you, Overseer Sadie.
Yes, ma'am.
God just put this thing in my spirit as you were speaking. Jesus, Lord, thank you, Heavenly Father. Thank you, Holy Ghost. As you were speaking, you know that old song, I Got a New Attitude?
Uh-huh.
That's what we got to have, a new
That's
attitude.
Right.
A new
attitude. That's right.
About the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a new thing. It's the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
When that situation comes and presents itself again, I need a new attitude. I need a new way of thinking. I need a new way of seeing so that when it comes, I can handle it the way I need to because I now have a new mindset. My attitude has changed. It's been shaped. It's been shifted. It's been molded. And so I believe that's the next word you need to reach over to. I got a new attitude. Woo,
thank you, baby. That'll preach. I'm writing that down now.
Woo! I'm sorry to cut you off, but I just heard
No, that's okay.
I got a new
When the Holy Ghost speaking, babe. See, I know how to, when the Holy Ghost speaking and giving me something, I know how to close my mouth and listen.
Yes,
I ain't
ma'am.
Trying to just take over the whole show and keep it going. Oh, no, ma'am, I know how to close my mouth and listen because there's a nugget in there for me. Because
yes,
if it wouldn't have been, the Holy Ghost wouldn't have dropped it in your spirit to give to me.
Come on. Come on. And I know I need to hear that word myself. That is a new way of thinking. That we have to change how we think. That's what that word says. And be transformed by the renewing
of your mind.
That's right. Of your
mind.
Mind
is renewed through the word that we hear.
That's it. That's true. Yeah.
That renews our mind. You know, people always say, you know what? You're living this way and you're living that way and you're doing this and you're doing that and you're going here and you're going there. You keep trying to deal with the symptom and not the root of the problem. The root of the problem is the mind ain't renewed.
All right.
You
have never got to the core of it.
They don't know how to do.
Thank
you can't sit me at a desk and say, do this job without training me to do the job.
All right.
Because you set me and you up for failure. I'm not going to be able to do it, and you ain't going to get no productivity out of me.
Huh?
And I'm going to be frustrated because you're asking me to do something that you didn't teach me to do.
Uh-huh.
And when I can't do it, you want to scold me for not being able to do what you haven't taught me.
All right. Yeah. Jesus. Glory, glory, glory.
And that's a word for us overseas.
As
men and women of God, as people who are elders. Because we're still learning, too. But that is
that's right, baby. I'm learning
what
every day.
What you have learned is what you can teach. What you've learned
mm-hmm.
is what you can teach.
Mm-hmm.
But that's a word for us, too,
mm-hmm.
because everybody's supposed to teach one another.
That's right.
Yeah.
And so we have to know that, you know what, I have to learn some new things so that I can teach some new things.
There you go.
I have to be taught so I can teach. Every
mm-hmm.
student was once, every teacher was once a student, and still is a student.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Because like you just say, teachers,
continue to
they're
have to
going.
Learn. Something new
mm-hmm.
comes out every year.
That's right, and they're going back
every
to school every summer to learn what's new, to be able to teach the
Come
students
on.
When they start school. And whatever month, you know, the school district is in, but they are going back. We never,
as
long as we on this side, we don't never get too big or we think we know it all. We God steadily showing us. When we, every time we pick up this Bible and open it up, we can look at, I just turned it to it, just so help, Psalms 27, and I got it highlighted, say, on verse 14, wait on the Lord. Be of good courage.
Yes.
Hey.
Yes.
And he shall
yes.
strengthen thy heart. Wait, I said on the Lord. And that's what we got to do. We got to wait on God. We can't run
yes.
before God. How are we going to do that?
Mm-mm.
And not be successful? No. I just happened to open, just turn to a page. And that's what he led my eyes right on. Wait on the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
We
yes.
can't go before him. Be of good courage. Why are we waiting? Be of good courage while we waiting on him to do what he told us he going to do, what he said he's
yeah.
going to bring to pass. Be of good courage while we doing. Don't grumble. Don't complain. Be of good courage.
Yeah.
And he shall strengthen thine
wow.
heart. He going to strengthen our heart. We keep
yeah.
a clean heart, clean mind. He's
yeah.
seen that heart. He know what was wicked. When we pray and say, God, remove everything out of my heart that is not of you, God.
Yes, Lord.
Let me have a clean heart. That's found in Psalm
yes,
51. Give me
yes.
a clean heart, O Lord.
Yes.
Renew
yes.
my mind. Renew.
Yes,
give me
Lord.
Strength daily.
Yes.
I can't
yes,
do it
Jesus.
By myself, God. I need you.
Yes.
Hey, Jesus.
Yes, Jesus.
Ooh, glory.
Yes,
and what
Lord.
People don't believe,
yes.
promotion come from God. It don't come from the people. Promotion comes
mm-hmm.
from God. Hey.
Come on now. Come on now.
Jesus. And when you've been
obedient.
You
know what it's like, Overseer Sadie?
Huh?
It's like going to a party, being dressed, getting dressed up and getting ready for a party, and it ain't the day for that party.
Huh.
Show up at the building. You all dressed up, you smell good, you look good, your hair done, you got on nice clothes, you know, you went and got you a facial, and you did all of that, and you got there, and the party wasn't on that day.
Mm-hmm. All right.
You can't get there before the day for the party. The party is on a specific day.
There you go.
There's a set time. It's the right location, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's the right venue.
Uh-huh.
It is the right party.
Mm-hmm.
The people will be there, but not on that day.
Not on that day. Got the wrong day. Jesus.
Not that day. You're not there at the right time. You got there what? Way too early.
Too early.
Ain't nobody there because they weren't supposed to be there.
Yeah, you wonder, well, where is everybody?
At that time.
Didn't they say it was this date? And then you would go back and you look and see. Oh. That's next month. That's not today.
Come on.
It's on a Thursday, but not this Thursday.
Come on.
Yeah.
And that's what it's like when we try to get where we going when it ain't time.
When it ain't time to be there. We like I say, we got to push ourselves before God. We got to move in God's timing. That's why I say, when is your due season? See, you were trying to move in your timing. For the baby. But God said, I got a time. So when it's your due season, I'm going to let that due season come, and you going to know it. But this ain't your season yet. So keep on doing what you're doing because you got some cleaning up to do. You got some housekeeping to do on
yes,
the inside.
Ma'am.
Woo!
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Every day. Every day. Every
Jesus.
Day. That's
Hallelujah.
That we seem to forget. You better clean out your house every day.
Yes.
Clean out that heart, that mind every day. Because when we allow those things to fester, we need some cleaning. You know, that car, that we drive, that bus that we ride on, has to be clean. That maintenance has to be done. It can only go but a certain amount of miles before it needs to be worked on. It needs to go to that shop. It needs that technician, that mechanic to work on it. That oil got to be changed.
Mm-hmm.
Those tires need to be rotated.
All right.
Come on. There's some parts that need to be switched out for new parts on that vehicle.
Ooh, and you know, going in this year, that's what a lot of people ought to think about, too. Going into this new year, it's your oil change. Did you come in this new year, hadn't changed your oil within you?
Come on.
Is you still running around with that same oil you've been carrying around for the last 20 years? Then you didn't step up to the plate and say, wait a minute, I need an oil change. I need some new spark plugs. I need a complete tuner.
Come on.
Jesus. My tires need to be rotated.
Come on, that's another word I believe you need to preach there.
Woo!
Come on,
Jesus.
Come on. It's time to work on that vehicle, this vessel. Some things need to be changed. Some things need to be made new. Some parts need to be replaced. Come on. You can't put premium gas in a tank that only takes number 89.
All right. You're going to mess up your motor and everything.
Come on now.
Mess up
the mechanism.
Woo.
Jesus. Come on. And come on. The scripture that goes right along with that is what? You can't put new wine
in
old
wine. Jesus.
Come on. You better be writing this stuff down, Halsey.
I'm doing it. Ooh,
girl.
I keep the paper and pencil, girl.
Your oil. You can't put new wine in the old wine skin.
Mm-mm.
Come on. It got to be replaced. It has to be changed.
Yes, Lord.
Come on. And how do I know that? Because, you know what? I had a car that, and I don't have any more, but I had, and I'll have a new one again sometime soon, whenever the time right.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't want to change his brakes on that car. I had the money. I had the time. But I didn't want to change the brakes. And what happened? God gave you that nudge. You need to go through the brakes. No, not right now, because, see, I got to do this, and I got to do that, and the money needed for here and there, and this and that, and this piece, because it's all it was.
Mm-hmm.
And so the brakes started giving out.
All right.
And I ran into somebody's car, not heavy. It was like we were at, like, a stopping stand, you know, where the cars are moving, but they ain't really moving.
Mm-hmm.
So when I hit the back of the person's car, I didn't really hit it. You know, it was just a little bump. It was a little nudge. So the person was like, nah, you know, it's fine. No problem. No damage. You know, the car face, though. And so I'm like, yes, I do. Thank God that there was not a problem here. But did I go get the car face? No. But that wasn't my intention. I had no intentions on taking this car to really get fixed. And so what happened? Eventually, the brakes went all the way out. And I couldn't stop the car. And somebody crossed the street. And I couldn't stop. Because, you know, people figure they got brakes. They'll stop. Well, he didn't know I didn't have no brakes, and I couldn't stop. And what happened? I ran into that man. That's what happened. Because I could not stop. And he wasn't paying me attention. Because he figured what? She's
that
going to stop. But I could not stop. And that was the worst experience I ever felt in my life. To hit a human being. Thinking that this man was dead. Because I done hit him with my car. Because I didn't change those brakes. Because I didn't listen. still need the warning. Even
that's
though it
right.
happened before then, I still decided. Come on. My people perish for a lack of knowledge.
Knowledge.
Because
mm-hmm.
you have rejected knowledge. Come on, you got to go past that. Because
mm-hmm.
you have rejected.
Rejected. That's right.
It was there. He told me. But I decided I wasn't going to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Even after I bumped into that other person's car.
Mm-hmm.
And I hit this man. And I ran over that man, too.
Mm-hmm.
Let's get the full picture here. I ran him over, too.
Mm-hmm.
And by the grace of God, this man was still alive. By the grace of God, there was no broken ribs or bones.
Mm-hmm.
He was banged up a little bit, but he was fine for the majority of the part.
Mm.
And that came through the grace of God, not me, because my idiotic, foolish, ignorant self wasn't taking care of me or him or that car because I didn't change those brakes like
mm-hmm.
I should have.
Mm-hmm.
So if he would have crossed that street, regardless of whether he should have been crossing at that time or not, I would have been able to stop.
Yes, yes.
So take heed to the word that God is giving. Is God telling
yes,
you something?
Yes, you better do it.
Please do it. Because
mm-hmm.
that's the worst thing I ever felt in my life. I thought that man was dead. And it would have
mm-hmm.
been my fault.
Mm-hmm.
Because I didn't change those brakes on that
mm-hmm.
car.
Mm-hmm. Well, I have enjoyed talking
great.
With y'all ladies today. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not going to keep y'all on here because y'all might have some of them. We don't even went off air, y'all. Oh, no, well, I'm back. Yeah, we are. The episode is off. Oh, no, it's showing it back on. I guess it's still recording. Received,
yes, ma'am. It'll probably be in the archives.
Yeah. But I give God praise today for what
yes.
he's doing in each and every one of our lives and each and every listener.
Amen.
That have called in or those that will listen in the archives later, I'm hoping this helped them because I know how
yeah.
it helped me. And it hit me
mm-hmm.
first before I give it to anybody else, you know.
Come on.
So, I mean, and the next lesson next week is going to be closure.
Yeah.
Jesus, you got to close. Close some things. You got to shut some doors.
Yeah.
You got to come to a closure on things. You may not want to, but where God is taking you, you have to. If you want to be obedient, and just like you say, if you want to listen. But if you're getting warning signs and you're not listening, when something happens, who fault is it?
Yeah, well,
come on. All right. We back on that. Oh, girl.
Come on now.
You have got
that testimony took us right into your. It took us right into your word for next week.
That testimony
I just gave took us into your word for next week. If I would have closed that door, if I would have fixed those brakes, that would have never happened.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't, and it did.
Mm.
And that's what he was trying to stop from happening, because he saw it getting ready to happen.
Uh huh.
But I couldn't see it. He did though.
Mm.
And was trying to save that man and me.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. I'm going to do it. I'm going to walk right through that door. I shouldn't go through. I'm going to do it. Jesus.
Ooh. But you know, I'm
I can laugh about it now, see. I wasn't laughing then. Now. Jesus. It wasn't no laughing matter then. I thought that man was gone and dead. But
everything
God
was going
him.
Through your mind at the time.
Yes, ma'am.
Mm-hmm. And like you say, at that time, if you'd have brought a child into the world, how
no,
would that,
Jesus,
you know?
No.
Okay, all right, we back up. Oh, no, ma'am. No,
no, ma'am. No ma'am.
And like you say,
when
you just think about how where God done brought you from and how you had to close some doors to get to where you at now. You had to close them doors. You had to go back to God and get forgiveness. You had to get released from them things.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yes, ma'am.
Ooh, mama. Jesus.
Yes, I did. So I thank God for you, overseer, and I thank God for you, prophetess. And, you know, I just thank God for the word today and what God is doing in our life. I thank God for where he brought us from and where he has us right now and where he's taking us to. Because everything we do is a place where it's a stopping place. It's like when you are driving on the road and you stop to get some gas. You didn't stop to stay. You stopped to get what you needed to go.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Mm. Ooh, well, I want to thank you, ladies. I'm going to get up here. I done got so much energy. Y'all just done helped me today.
Amen.
And I just give God praise. You contact me later on, Pastor Varian, so to tell me what your scheme going to be for the baby's new room and all that.
Okay.
All righty. And I want to tell y'all, ladies, Prophetess William, thank you so much for coming on.
Welcome over to you.
And being a guest and just letting God use you, because God have better things and brighter doors that will be open for you this year in 2012. And you get ready to walk in them doors. Stop looking back on you don't want to hurt this one or you don't want to do this one. God is opening in some doors for you this year.
Yes,
and he wants you to be prepared to go through them.
Yes, ma'am.
It's not that you you can't take everybody where you're going.
Mm-hmm. Come on.
I hear them every day. The place and order that God has me in, everybody who's around me, they're not ready to go in that place with me, so I cannot carry on with me. Maybe because they are not ready to go in that place.
Uh-huh.
But then what you're saying, that it is so true. I mean, people in my life, they come and go, they hey, it's cool if I love them, but I got to do what God called me to do. I can't I cannot just hang with everybody no more. I'm trying to get more to the place of God. Cause if they're not trying to go with me to the place of God, I have to let them go. Because I'm not letting nobody stop my. I cannot let nobody stop my destination. I can't let nobody stop my place in God now.
There you go.
Yeah.
So I got to tell them I have to let them go. Because they are not in the same place with God where I'm at. I cannot carry them with me.
That's right.
Because they're not ready for that place. So, you know, what you're saying is straight on point. Yes, God, I'm trying to get there every day. Help me, Father. Keep me, God. Help me. I'm
he got a purpose and a destiny for your life.
Yes.
And the only way you're going to be able to get to fulfill the destiny you have for your life, you cannot get sidetracked.
Mm-hmm.
Come on.
He's telling you to stay in the center road. But I think I found something to come. But you still trying to go to the left. You're still trying to back up. He's saying now if you want to follow direction, the lead I've given you, stay in this road. I'm telling you to go down Live Oak Street. Why are you over there on Butter Street when I told you to go down Live Oak?
Jesus, thank you, Lord.
Jesus, my God.
So I'm learning. I'm telling you, think that I'm learning daily myself.
Come on.
See, we get in such a comfort zone that we don't want to turn loose something. We don't want to let this go, or we don't. You know, we come up with more excuses like I talked about last week.
Excuse.
We got every time God tell us something, we come up with an excuse. Instead of just doing what God say do, we wouldn't have, just like the church of Israel going around the, out there for 40 years. They didn't have, if they'd have just followed God's instruction the first time, but they wanted to do things the way they wanted to do it. They didn't want to follow the instruction God had already given them.
Mom.
So they had to pay the price for 40 years for being disobedient.
Mm-hmm. And you know what that sounds like to Overseer Sadie? What God told Moses to do.
That's right.
Go over here and tell him. Well, God, you know, I'm a slow of speech. Well, God, you know, somebody else would be able to get over the word that you're conveying better than me. But God was like, listen, I got you. Listen, I'm here. Listen, I'm going to help you. Listen. Mm-hmm. Yes, but God, somebody else would be better at doing
it. And look, when he told him to hit that plate one time, he didn't hit it once like he told him. That forbidden him from going on into the promised land.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's when God tells him. You know, like I'm learning now, when God say, I can be driving, and God say, turn this street. You know what? First thing we say, oh, but God, if I go down this way here, I can get to it quicker. God wants you. When I started really listening, when God tell me that for myself, he said, go down here. I said, oh, my God, I didn't know these buildings was back here. I didn't know they was hiring down here. I went to say, but now God been telling you where to go all the while. Until he get tired, you done turn him to a deaf ear. When he speaks to you the first time, get up and move. And when you get up and move, you won't go wrong.
Come on. Now you're speaking my language.
Because
God's been telling me to do some things, and I just been like, okay, I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it.
And he'll come back and say in a dream, in a vision, or walking through the house, well, when you going to do dust and so? I tell, oh, God, I'm going to do it tomorrow. There's an excuse.
Oh, yeah, it is. But, you know, I'm tired, and, I don't have time right now, and, we got everything in the world.
We thinking about looking at that rock in that bowl. He see further than that bowl. Our precept is just right there in that bowl. But he see already 10 years down the road. And all we looking at, what you call it, vision, we looking right at it right now.
Yeah.
We ain't looking no further. We ain't looking to the left, to the right. We think it just, right now. He's saying, I'm telling you to do this now because 3 months from now, I see where you going to be.
Come on.
But now if you want to stay over here and let the buses eat you up, let them pick at you where you stay over here. But I'm giving you ample time to get over here where you can fly with the eagles.
Oh, yeah. Because our God specializes in making the impossible possible.
Yes, he is.
Whatever they say can't be done can be done. All things can be done through Christ. With man, it is impossible. But with God, there is nothing impossible.
Nothing impossible.
So God didn't lead me in this direction to do a certain thing. And I just was like, okay, now I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it. And today he said, okay, now you're going to get up and do it. Today ain't you. I'm going to do it, Lord. I promise. Today is going to happen. See, some other days, I ain't going to lie. Some other days, I didn't give him a day or a time. I'm just like, you know what? I should do this today. And then I'll get distracted because I really had no intentions on doing it that day. And to be honest,
That's right.
I had no real intentions on doing it that day. I had intentions on doing it, but not on that day. Okay. So now today, I'm going to get my lazy butt up and go do what he told me to do. Because people are waiting on me to get up and do what he told me to do.
All right.
And I don't mean it in any selfish kind of way. You know, when God tells us to go get up and preach, people are waiting to hear that word. That he's telling us to go preach. When he tells us to go over here and you know, like he told Ananias, go to the street wall straight and give Saul his sight. Go lay your hands on him and get back. The Saul was waiting on him to get there. And what if he would have decided, oh, not today, Lord. I got things to do. Oh, not today, Lord, because, you know, the sun ain't shining today. It's raining. It's cloudy.
Yes, Lord.
But today, I'm going to get up and do it.
That's right.
What I said I was going to do.
There you go. And I'm going to let y'all ladies go on. I'm not going to be the escape goat today. The excuse.
No, ma'am.
But, Lord, if Pastor Overseer said they hadn't kept me on that line, I could have won.
Oh, Lord. See, now, that's one thing now. Before we hang up, that's one thing that I know for sure. That is one excuse.
And
one place I can never place the blame. That's one thing. If I don't do something, God knows I'm real good on saying, you know what, Danny? I ain't do that. I should have did it. I could have did it. I had everything that equipped me to do it, but I just didn't do it. Because look at what happened to Adam and Eve in that garden. Adam, who did it, Eve? Eve, who did it? The devil.
Adam.
Part the finger.
It's everybody but me. No, Lord, it's me. I didn't do it. Overseer said he ain't had nothing to do with it. If I sit in my house all day after we get off the phone and don't do it, I'm not going to be able to say whether it was because I was so full on the conversation and the phone and we got off and I still didn't go. I was just so overjoyed. Didn't get it done. And if it had not been for Overseer, no, because he ain't going to listen to that. He don't want to hear that mess. Uh-huh. That's mess. It wasn't it was me. I chose not to do it. You can't place that blame on nobody else. God's going to deal with you for that mess. I would rather tell him, Lord, I didn't do it because I just didn't want to do it.
There you go.
I didn't do it because Overseer.
Hello, how you doing?
So I love you, lady.
I love y'all.
Go ahead off this phone. Let you go and do what I know
ma'am.
I need to be doing. God bless
y'all.
Ma'am.
And God bless you, baby. And talk with you later, baby.
All right, bye bye.
Okay then, bye bye, everybody.